Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, which is an interview with Heather and Maureen from the Milk Minute podcast, where we get to hear how their advice worked out for night weaning Sebastian. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 240. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
Okay, so last week you told us the harrowing story of becoming COVID positive on Christmas morning. Santa, This is not what you asked for. Not what you asked for at all.
I must have been a bad girl this year.
Oh. I mean, it's not coal in your stocking, but
true.
Coal at least would be useful. This is
so, not useful at all.
You had a bummer of a week with COVID, being isolated in your room. And I want to hear about this week. Hopefully things have changed.
All right. So first of all, I want to just say that the transition out of isolation and back into full-time momming was really hard for me. I don't know what the transition is like for other parents going through COVID. Like, okay, so first of all, I was alone in my room for 6 days, essentially, right? Because you have to start counting on day zero. So zero through five, and then I could come back, and I had to wear a mask. So that's kind of where I was last week. And the mask wearing around my family was tricky for me because I had like some kind of allergic reaction to my mask, and it was making me break out. And then like I couldn't take off my mask and eat with my family. I had to like separate to eat still, right? And it was like New Year's, and I was trying to be celebratory, and I ended up like I'm eating outside like in the rain. Like it was rainy, but I didn't want to go back to my room because I was so sick of my room, and everyone else was eating dinner like in the dining room. And I was like, I want to be part of it. I'll just sit outside on the patio. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, the rain starts dripping on my fucking plate. And I just like,
oh no,
I felt really dejected. And my brain was kind of starting to spin out a little bit, just some anxious thinking, definitely. Like, oh my gosh, like my family can go on without me, like, right? Watching them from the outside in, like, oh, they're all fine. And my kids don't need me. And
it's like, such a stereotypical, like almost cartoonish picture, right? Like the sad, lonely person standing out in the cold and the rain, watching the happy family all like warm and talking together. I mean, like, ugh, what a nightmare.
Yeah, it was really tough. Yeah. The next day I was feeling so much better and I finally tested negative for COVID, which means I didn't have to have a mask around my family anymore.
Woohoo!
Yay! So things were looking up for me. I really got to spend a lot of time with the girls and get close and snuggle. And I gave Elle a bath that night. And oh my God, just there's something about like bathing your child, especially when you haven't been around them for so long, just like washing her hair and one-on-one time. And then I put her to bed and snuggled. And oh my God, just like reconnecting with her filled up my cup just to, like beyond. Like I needed it so bad. And I was like, yay, I'm back.
So I know there's more to this story.
I know. I'm not fooling you. Okay. So I bounced back. I had one glorious day around my family without my mask. And the next morning, I took a routine COVID test because I knew that rebound was a possibility because I had taken Paxlovid the first time around. And I looked at my test and it lit up like that Christmas tree again. I was once again positive for COVID.
I did not know Santa came back on like the 2nd of January.
He makes a special trip for extra, extra rotten girls like me. I kid. I was devastated. I was just like, oh my God, I have to do this again. Because the CDC recommendation is to start that isolation all over again from day zero.
I know.
So,
because
yeah.
When you sent me this information, I was like, there must be a shorter isolation period. Like, this can't be right. I was like Googling and I was like, no shit. It's the same exact thing. Because talking about like blame where blame isn't due, I actually like felt really guilty about your rebound because I felt like I pushed you towards asking your doctor about Paxlovid and like was telling you about how it really helped my mom and my stepdad when they had COVID. And then I was like, no, this rebound's my fault.
Well, you know, the statistics are like 2% of people rebound. And I'm kind of questioning that now, but that's what I was going on. And to be honest, it did help my symptoms. I mean, I was feverish and chills, full body chills. And I took it and like I snapped back to health really quickly, like within 24 hours. I just rebound and I did get symptoms again this week and I am back in the old isolation chamber. My mental state is so much better, though. I learned so much the first time around. I'm taking all that knowledge this time.
Good.
There's different ground rules. You know, I'm like, Steve, you and the family have to leave the house every day for a couple hours so I can come out of my room and have free run of the house and be mask free and like sit by the fire and make myself lunch. And so we're doing it differently this time and things are going a lot better.
Yeah, I was a little scandalized when I found out that they hadn't been doing that already. I was like, wait a second. Like when you say you're in your room, I thought like you were getting some free time out of your room. But like, you're like, no, I've been in my room. I'm like, wait, come again? Like, get those kids and that husband out of your house. Like, you need to be able to use your own kitchen.
I know. I don't know why none of us thought of it the first time around. I think just like the combination of the holidays and the weather and it just like, I don't know.
Well, and if it had been any other week, your kids would have been in school, you know, Steve would have been at work a couple days a week out of the house. Like it just was bad timing.
Yeah, it was really bad timing. But here we are again. I'm a few days away from getting out of isolation, but I'm feeling okay. Like the symptoms have subsided.
That's good. And, was it milder the second time around?
It was. Yeah. No fever, no chills this time. Mostly sore throat, congestion, sneezing, a shit ton of sneezing. I've never sneezed so much in my life. I was like, what's going on?
How's the pelvic floor? Is it doing okay with all that sneezing?
It is. It's hanging in. It's good. Hanging in. Yeah.
Good job, pelvic floor. Good job.
Yeah, I'm proud. I'm giving a little pat on the pelvis. Anyway, that's my saga. I really hope your week was better than mine. What have you all been up to?
Well, I feel like this is one of those check-ins where we are telling each other what's happening, but obviously we've been keeping each other up to date throughout. Mm-hmm. So as you know, the big news this week was Augie turned 4.
Oh my gosh, big boy.
Big boy. It was his birthday week and it just also happened to be his first week back at school. Thank God.
Oh
my goodness, this kid needed to get back in school. He was so excited to go back to school and like he could not, I don't think, express how excited he was to be the kid of the week the first week back at school, you know?
Wow. Wow, congratulations.
Well, it's because it's his birthday. You sign up for a week. It's not an out accolade, you know? It's just everyone gets it type situation. But it was his week, you know, and he's watched all of his friends go have their week beforehand. Usually it lines up with your birthday, right? Like that's sort of the way they tell you to sign up for it. So he was kid of the week this week. And I guess the only downside is that it was a shorter week because they started on Tuesday.
Okay.
Back from break. But we made the most of it. We actually went into his classroom twice this week for two separate activities. The first was on his actual birthday, which was Wednesday. We went in and read books at story time for him and his class.
Aw, how fun.
It was really fun. We picked his favorite books from home and brought them in. And oh, he was so excited for us to be there. He wanted to sit on my lap. And then on Friday, we came back and did the big scavenger hunt that I mentioned in the last episode.
Right. How did that go over?
Oh, my gosh. So well, it went over like gangbusters. Is that a saying? Is that what people say? they loved it. Okay. So I wish I had taken more pictures of these clues that I made because I got kind of creative on my Cricut and cut out some cardstock clues in like special shapes. So my first clue was a big picture of Augie it was like an 11 by 14 picture that I had printed at Walgreens on foam board. And I had the clue printed on the back, and then I like cut it into a 4-piece puzzle. You know, it wasn't really, it was just kind of cut up in wavy lines.
Uh-huh.
So that was like on the rug, and they're like circle time rug, ready to be assembled to be their first clue. Then that led to the pizza oven where I had a cutout of a pizza with the clue on the back. I do have a picture of that one. Let me send that to you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I sent it over.
Okay. Oh, that's cute. Big red round pizza with some cutout mushrooms and pepperonis. That's very large. And then on the back, you've got your little clue. A letter of the alphabet is waiting for you. Don't you fret. Look up high. Oh, I'm ruining the cadence of this. Let me try this again.
Just remember that this was written by artificial intelligence, so I'm not sure the cadence is that great.
Okay. A letter of the alphabet is waiting for you. Don't you fret. Look up high, look down low. The letter W is where you'll go.
So we had his name written up on the wall. Well, cutouts, you know, my Cricut cutouts. And so his name starts with W, as people may remember from his, I don't know, the birth episode way back when. So they had to find the W of his name, and then they pulled that off the wall. And then that actually led them to the book, I Want My Hat Back. So then it leads you to that book. And in that book, there was like a treasure chest shape that I cut out. And that then told you basically to go to a special place where Augie keeps his special things. And it was his cubby. And inside his cubby, we had hidden one of those like Amazon gift bags.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh.
Full of mini Play-Dohs and the basically Mardi Gras beads, you know.
Uh-huh.
So there was enough for every kid to have a Play-Doh and a Mardi Gras bead, but it was the treasure.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the one thing I will say is I did not anticipate doing it in smaller groups. I don't know why. Like, of course, we should have known that that was going to happen because you can't have a giant classroom of kids all looking for the same clues at the same time. But the problem was that Augie wanted to be in all the groups, right? Because it was his activity. Of course he did.
So he knew where all the clues were.
Yes. And do you think my 4-year-old, my brand new 4-year-old, could resist spoiling the answers for his other little friends?
No, no, no.
Oh, my gosh. So we were every group. We were like, OK, Augie, just let them try to figure it out. And he's just like, ugh! He was just exploding. And he's like, it's my cubby. You know, like,
oh, how cute. Oh, my gosh.
But that was super fun and really sweet to be in his class. And then finally, we had a birthday party for him at the end of the week in our backyard.
Yeah, I'm so sad I had to miss it.
I am so sad you had to miss it. But I'm so glad that Elle and Cece were able to come, and Steve.
Yes.
And we had a bunch of his friends from school there and a bounce house, and it was Transformer themed. And yeah, it was just fun times were had by all. Somehow we missed the rain. Like, it rained all the days leading up to it and all the days after it. But
yeah,
that Saturday was perfect.
Really amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, my little baby is 4.
Oh, yep. Big kid.
They just keep getting older. And yeah, but I'm so proud of him. He's such a sweetheart, and it's just fun watching him grow up. So I guess it's okay that he's growing up, but
yes.
I might ask him to slow down just a little bit.
I'm sure he'll comply.
Yeah, sure. And I will be talking a lot about Sebastian in the next segment, so I think I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, shall we take a break and move on to our next segment?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back, and I'm very excited about this week's special segment because, Laura, you recently went on the Milk Minute podcast and spoke to Maureen and Heather about how to night wean Sebastian because he's been giving you so much trouble at night with sleep, and the constant nursing has been a lot of it. That is what I know. Well, we have Heather and Maureen from the Milk Minute podcast here today to hear how it went for you. And I want to hear how it went for you too, Laura, because I'm in the dark. I don't know what's been going on with you and Sebastian and sleep and how this all went down. So I am here to listen and get the goods.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, let's say hi to Heather and Maureen, who are waiting in the wings. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. So our listeners should know who you are by now, but just in case they don't, would you like to quickly introduce yourselves and tell us who you are?
Absolutely. So Heather and I have the Milk Minute podcast. We are midwives and lactation professionals, and our podcast mostly focuses on breastfeeding stuff or breastfeeding adjacent topics.
Yeah, we also focus a lot on just being postpartum, body positivity. We do get into some relationship stuff. We even have a couple spicy episodes about those of you that are, you know, trying to get back into the old groove after having a baby. So we go there. We go all the places.
Amazing.
And we love you guys. We've had you on the show a bunch of times before, and then we've come on your show. I've lost track at this point. We're buddies. We're friends. And I came to you. I think I actually Facebook messaged Heather like in the middle of the night. And I was like, Heather, help me. I can't do this anymore. Because I was just at this point where Sebastian was basically co-sleeping between the hours of like noon and seven. Noon.
Noon. Yeah, that would be nice. Noon.
Yeah. Sorry. Midnight and 7 a.m. every single night. And that's one thing. That's okay. I mean, I never intended to co-sleep, but like it wasn't that bad, or it wouldn't have been that bad had he not insisted on being latched the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's torture.
I mean, he would like fall asleep and kind of drift off and unlatch here and there. But I mean, it really felt like at least 5 to 6 hours of constant nursing every night. And our listeners know that I've got like nipples of steel at this point. But even then, you know,
I mean, honestly, any baby, any age, like 5 continuous hours of nursing. No, thank you.
No, thank you. But, you know, what would happen is, so he's almost 2, right? And so he's like too verbal and too grown up to like really pass one over on him at this point. Because I feel like with younger babies, you can kind of trick them, pop a pacifier in their mouth or something. But with him, if he would lose his latch, or if I'd like try to actively unlatch him, he'd go, oh no, boo boo. Oh no, boo boo.
Oh,
and I'd
man.
Be like, oh God, okay, fine. I'll like just go to the other side. They go, side?
Well, it's hard to fight that cuteness too.
I know. It's so cute.
My daughter does that too. Side?
Side? It's like, okay, it's I know I'm cute. Running out. Like, but so I messaged Heather in desperation. I was like, idea for an episode. You guys give me free advice.
I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm totally here
we loved
for
that
it.
Idea.
Yes.
But you guys were game, and I was so grateful because I was able to come on the podcast and tell you all about my nighttime nursing woes and get some ideas on what to do about it. And that episode came out last week, but we actually recorded it, what, about 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so.
That feels right, but time is a black hole, so it's kind of hard to say.
Oh, truly.
We were cute. We recorded before the holidays and we were like, let's check in 2 weeks.
It feels like 2 weeks. Has it really been 2 months?
In like, holiday time, we're on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
But now we're regrouping and I'm going to talk about the results after about 6 weeks of trying things.
But first, Laura, I wasn't joking when I said I was in the dark here because I don't know what the tips and tricks were. I haven't had a chance to listen to this audio yet. So fill me in. What was some of the good advice? Maybe Heather and Maureen, you could speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was really happy to do this episode, mostly because Maureen and I differ greatly.
Oh, yeah.
On our sleep recommendations.
Ooh.
And we do not beat around the bush about the fact that we are not sleep consultants. Like,
yes.
We always joke and say, like, as soon as we find an evidence-based sleep training course, we'll take it. That's also breastfeeding friendly. So we kind of both have to pull from our evidence about breastfeeding
and neurology and, you know, kind of from all different places to influence behavior. And then Heather and I also have some slightly different parenting styles. So we kind of gave her like opposite ends of the spectrum of advice. And I'm sure somewhere in the middle worked.
Oh, interesting.
But, you know, my advice was very much along the lines of some like slow behavioral changes where I was like, okay, we're going to take a couple weeks. We're going to, you know, maybe like have your husband do some of the bedtimes or the second wake up, he's going to get them, you know, so that kind of like gradual changes and like gradually associating sleep without nursing.
Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of more coming from the behavioral changes of creating more autonomy in your two-year-old beforehand and setting some good foundational stuff for them being alone at night. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, bye. So, I mean, just in a nutshell, that's kind of my approach where I'm like, they're going to be fine. They're 2 years old. Like, we're going to have to rip off this Band-Aid at some point. And so laying down a foundation and also continually sending the message of like, we love you. We're here for you. It's hard to learn new things. This is a new skill that we're learning. And the idea is like, we always tell our patients, how much time do you have? And yeah. What are you comfortable with? And we're going to give you opposite ends of the spectrum, and anywhere in between is fine.
Yeah.
So as long as you can be consistent with it and you feel good about it, then that's the one for you.
Yeah. And I think the reality is it's not one size fits all, right? Mm-hmm. What works for Heather's baby might not work for mine. So it's really nice to have a couple of options.
Yeah. And I really appreciated that. And, you know, it was definitely sort of a Robert Frost, two roads diverge in a wood, right? Situation. It's like, you can only take one, you know, but I definitely looked at both your techniques and both of them appealed to me in different ways, you know, like, I think I talked about in our interview that like I kind of like the snuggles of the co-sleeping. Like it was very sweet, and knowing he's likely going to be my last baby, I was like perfectly fine with having him in my bed next to me waking me up. It was just the like nipple chomping that was the problem. So in that way, you know, Maureen's advice seemed appealing. But then talking to Corey and discussing sort of what we would like our evenings and life to look like, I realized that perhaps Heather's version of sort of being a little bit more behavioral approached and trying to aim towards autonomy was the way to go, which was also more in line with what we've done with Augie, my four-year-old. So yeah, so I discussed it with Corey, and you know, he's very deferential to me about this stuff because he knows, you know, it's me that's really having to do the hard work of having my boobs out all night, and me who has to sort of deal with the crying toddler who is screaming and scratching at my face, like because he wants to breastfeed and I'm not letting him. So we discussed it, but also I value our marriage and I value our partnership and being able to sort of have alone time as adults. I'm not even talking about like having sex. I'm just talking about like literally lying next to each other in bed and like reading books and chatting, right? Like,
yeah. Yes.
You know, stuff like that is important. So we decided to get on board with the Heather approach for sort of calling it sleep training. It seems a little like a bridge too far, right? Like it's,
and sleep training kind of feels like something you do with younger babies who don't have like a willful participation in it. It's a little different with a toddler.
And can I just interject, since we also share another guest, Gia Gambaro Blunt, parenting coach who we just had on our podcast. I know you've had her before. She calls it skilling up. So when your kid is ready to get to that next level, and you're helping them get there, it's called they're ready to skill up. And a lot of times she says that you see a lot of behavior issues when the kid is ready to move on, but they don't know how. And you're giving them the tools to do it.
Yeah, I was definitely channeling Gia during this process. And there were some things that I noticed when I was like starting to prep myself and Sebastian for doing this that made me think of her whole upskilling thing, right? And one of them was that, so before bedtime, almost every night we do bath in Augie's room because he has like an attached ensuite, if you will. and so we do the bath in his bathtub. And so Sebastian always ends up running around naked in Augie's room for a couple minutes before we go off to his room. And I was noticing almost every night he was like running straight into Augie's bed and like laying his head down on his big fluffy pillow, because of course he has like a queen size pillow on his bed, and pulling his big blanket up. And like pretending to sleep like his big brother. And I just had like one of those like, moments where I was like, Mm-hmm. I think this child needs some bedding in his crib.
Yeah.
Oh, so he wasn't using a pillow or blanket or anything before?
No. I had a little like crib blanket, you know, like I don't know. It's bigger than a lovey, but smaller than like a real blanket. Mm-hmm. Sort of like a, I don't know what you would call it. It's smaller than a crib blanket, but it was enough to cover him up, but it wasn't enough to like fill the whole crib, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he never really tried to like pull it over him. So I didn't really think much about it. I kind of was treating it as a lovey, which he didn't treat it as a lovey. I just assumed that he needed something like that. So I kept putting it in his crib. But no, he did. He had a bare crib. You know, you get stuck in these younger kid ways. You forget to upskill them, right? You're right. Like,
Oh, yeah. And they don't know to ask for it. So what?
And they grow up too damn fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he was 6 months old yesterday, right?
It's very true. He was 6 months old yesterday, and he's still my baby, so this is all too much. No, but so that was the first moment where I was like, oh, okay, that's a good place where we can upskill him, right?
Like, I like that, yeah.
So I took Heather's advice. One piece of advice Heather gave that I actually hadn't really heard before, which is super smart, which was like, spend a week talking to him about it before you do anything. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I can do that. It was maybe I'm misquoting you, Heather, but it was basically like, you need to talk to him and prep him about what's about to happen so that it's not like, okay, tonight, instead of nursing all night in my room, you're just going to have to cry in your crib. Sorry, kid. Like, so that is something we did. So we took a week and we're like, okay, we are going to, just talk it up, like especially during the daytime. We were trying to do it during the daytime, so it was nowhere near bedtime, so there was no anxiety there. And I just started telling him, like, oh, you know how you've been sleeping in mommy's room? So soon you're going to be a big boy and we're going to you're going to start sleeping in your bed more. OK, and so we're not doing it tonight. Tonight, if you need to, you can come to mommy's room. But soon we're going to make you. I never said make you. I was like, we're going to make you do it, kid.
No, you're hyping him up. You're like, you are a big kid and this is what big kids do. It's amazing.
Exactly. And I told him, I said, we're going to get you a big pillow just like your big brother. He goes, Bash? I was like, yeah, for Bash. He was obviously really excited about it. And we also decided to wait until we like had a good week of like no activities. Like,
great plan.
We were going to the Magic Castle that first week, which I talked about on our show, which meant we were going to have our former nanny do bedtime. And I was like, we're not starting until that's over. So, we hyped him up for a week and that's where we started.
Oh, yeah. So while you were doing this, did you convert his crib to like a toddler bed or did you just go straight to a bed?
Yeah,
or are you
I had recommended going to a bed on the floor. I forgot about that. Did you change the crib at all?
I have not changed the crib yet, other than putting the pillow and the blanket in, because he was so like stoked about that I thought that was good enough.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And his room is pretty much toddler proofed, but I wasn't quite ready to let him out of the crib unless absolutely necessary, you know? So
I'm pretty sure they say like one big change at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That too. So I thought for me, it feels like a variable, right? Like whenever I'm trying to figure something out with like the kids sleep, I don't want to like try two different approaches at the same time because that's too many variables.
You don't know what worked.
Exactly.
Right.
So I hyped him up for a week and then it was time to start our new behavioral approach to get him to sleep in his crib all night.
Okay.
And tell us more.
I'm waiting with bated breath. So wait, I do have a question.
Okay.
So Corey's role in this, did he do anything to prepare or was this all like Laura just driving this hype train of this is what's happening? And did Corey understand the assignment? Like, how was that?
Corey did understand the assignment. Corey was very on board with this assignment. Like anything to get us more sleep. He's like, what do you need me to do? Just tell me how high to jump, you know, like he's very, very OK with helping out with that. And I actually don't remember if you gave this advice, Heather or Maureen, but one of the pieces of advice you gave me was to have us both do the middle of the night check-ins when there's like, you know, a wake up. So like the basic approach was going to be like we hype it up for a week. Then we start basically like a system where if he wakes up or doesn't go down initially, right, like don't nurse him to sleep, put him down awake still, and which is actually what we had been doing. Like that wasn't our problem. It was in the middle of the night that was the problem. So then when he wakes up in the middle of the night, instead of like just giving up and taking him into our bed or nursing him in the room, your suggestion was for both Corey and I to go in, do our little check-in, tell him he's safe, tell him we love him, tuck him back in, and then leave. And I had never heard that advice before, but we were like, that makes sense. Because like, I think you said, if I'm remembering right, that sounds like a Heather thing to suggest. I think you said that we want him to know that like Corey and I are on the same team. Like he's not going to play us against each other to get one of us to save him from his crib. Right.
Oh yeah. They know there's two of you. And it actually sets a good foundation for all the other parenting things. You know, like whenever my kids start to push that boundary of like, daddy told me no for a snack, and then they come to me and I go stand right next to my husband and I'm like, we both said no to a snack. And then they're just reminded like, oh yeah, they're one.
I love that. I love that. And that was like kind of genius, I have to say, because I really think, first of all, I think it really confused him. He was just like, what?
Yeah, throw him off guard.
Yeah, I mean, and nothing will make you stop crying like confusion. Just be like, what?
Absolutely. Shock.
Okay, so I took some notes because I knew I would forget what happened. Let me pull those up. So it says in my notes that my first night of retraining Sebastian was December 12th, and it is currently January 16th. So it's actually just a little over a month. We're better than I anticipated. All right. So, okay. This is something I had forgotten. See, this is why you take notes. One of the details of giving him a new big pillow, like we give him a grown-up pillow because that's what Augie has. I gave him my pillow.
Ooh, smart.
Smart.
That was smart.
The one that I hadn't washed in probably way too long. And I drool.
Crusty, dusty teabag pillow.
Yeah. It was like gross by anyone else's standards, but he's just like, mama. You know, probably
toddler perfection.
Yes, exactly. So I gave him my pillow, which I thought was a nice touch on my part. Gave him a big cozy blanket. And he was actually really excited to like get into the crib. And like he wanted to play with the pillow before bedtime. So I thought that was good. Positive associations with the crib. Apparently, I had to check in on him a few times, but after I sang Baby Beluga to him, he went right down. So that's good. Then it said he stirred at 11:45, but we didn't have to go in. At 1 a.m., he woke up, and it took us 3 check-ins and about 15 minutes of both Corey and I marching in there together before he realized we meant business. And then he slept until 6 a.m.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. And I did talk about on the show, I was like, what are my boobs going to do? after like they've been for like at least a month, they've been nursing all night. And you guys are like, you're fine.
Yeah. We actually just recorded a quick episode on that as well, because this happens all the time. People are always worried about what's going to happen to their boobs overnight, especially overproducers who have had mastitis a lot, and they're afraid to pump too much and they're afraid to not pump. So we just want to acknowledge that is normal to be nervous about that, but you're fine.
Yeah. Give us the booby report. How did they do?
Yeah, they were fine. I mean, I could tell they were a little more full than usual, you know, like obviously after 7 hours of nursing, when I would wake up in the morning, they were not full at all. But like, you know, they were not uncomfortable. It's not like I was, you know, spraying milk everywhere. He was pretty stoked to have like, you know, a proper boobage in the morning, though.
Yeah.
He was just like, he was like gulping.
Getting his big gulp.
Also, was his behavior better in the morning because he got better sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, certainly he has to be sleeping better if he's not getting woken up all night long, too.
Yes, of course it was. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I've always noticed this with Augie and now with Sebastian. Like, they don't want to sleep at night, but then when they do, they're like different kids during the day. Like, we're not getting the tantrums, we're not getting the whining, they're just happier. Yeah. I mean, it's such a big difference. This is why I really believe in like good sleep hygiene for them. Because like, I remember actually when we sleep trained Augie, he was 5 and a half months old, I want to say, the very first time. And I just remember like 2 days after, like when he finally was starting to sleep through the night, I was looking at him and I was like, gosh, you're a happy baby. You know, like, wow, you were so like, you're just so happy and chipper. And I was just like, huh, sleep. Imagine that.
Yeah. But also, Laura, you had to be in a place where you were ready to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you had so much going on in your life at the time. And you can't, I mean, even if it only takes one night in your brain, it could take 3 months. So like you have to be ready to tackle mentally and emotionally and spiritually whatever is coming at you when you are working on adjusting your kid's sleep. And so like it was the right time for you this time. It was the right time for Augie at 5 months, and it's all good. Whatever you guys need to do.
Totally. And to be fair, I did like quote unquote sleep train Sebastian when he was 6 months old, but it never stuck the same way it did for Augie. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just been a bit harder of a nut to crack. I will say that night two, he woke up at 11:45, 12:30, and 5:23, but then managed to sleep until 7:30, which that has not happened since, I'm just going to say. and then night three, he put himself to bed at bedtime and then slept till 6:20.
What?
Which,
That's great.
Okay.
I'm so happy for you.
Well, hold that thought a little bit.
Oh, God.
you know, if we had stopped there and if we had recorded at 2 weeks after we had chatted, I would have been like, you guys, it worked perfectly. He's sleeping through the night every night and waking up just after six. And it's brilliant. And you saved my life again. But life happens.
Yes.
The holidays happened. And during the holidays, sweet little Sebastian got a terrible tummy bug.
Oh, yeah. And that just ruins everything, doesn't it?
It definitely set us back in the sleep world.
Oh, was he back to co-sleeping?
Well, I will say that it's sort of like two steps forward, one step back, because there was one night where I was just like, oh, my God, I just need to I need to sleep. He needs to sleep. Let me bring him into our bed. And then he promptly puked all over our bed.
Oh, no.
So I was like, that's a sign. That's a sign that we're not doing this anymore. So we continue to have a little bit of sleep trouble at night. We'll get like a waking here and there. Some nights he sleeps, you know, all the way through the night. Some nights he'll have like one waking, you know, midnight, 1 a.m., that sort of thing. But usually we can go back in and sort of settle him. So he hasn't come back into our room, and I haven't started nursing him at night again, but we are currently struggling with really early morning wake-ups. Like, this morning it was 4:30, and he's just up. The kid is just up. Like, we tried. We tried all of the things, and then I finally tried to nurse him because I was like, something. And he just nursed, and then he was like, okay, now let's go play. Like, it was...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So I wanted to add that, not because it's like a depressing end of the story, but just because I think a lot of people hear these things.
Okay. Yeah. It's not perfect, but it's better.
Yes, exactly. It's not perfect. We don't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good. Like, he's no longer nursing all night in my bed.
That's a huge success.
Yeah. And I think there must be some developmental thing at that age for the wake up issue, because our children are close in age. And my daughter is also doing early wake ups, just like, I mean, 4 or 5 a.m. She's up.
Yeah.
And she'll just be like, mama, up, mama. And I'm like, yeah, no. I'm not getting up, kid. And then I'll be like, hey, you want to go downstairs with dad? Great. Go to and they go watch Bluey for 2 hours, you know?
Oh, my God. It's Blippi. He wakes up and he goes, Blippi?
Blippi. Oh, God.
And I'm like,
no, she says, Bluey. She wants to watch Bluey.
That's funny.
I take Bluey much like happier
than
Blippi.
I can't stand Blippi.
I have learned to tolerate him.
Well, you know what I'm happy about for you? I'm happy that you still have two nipples. That's very exciting. They are intact. And also, you've had at least a couple full REM cycles to problem solve.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel like you have a leg up now, because whenever you sleep through the night at one time and you haven't done it in months, it's like, oh my God, my whole brain is online for the first time in so long.
All your self-doubts melt away. You're like, I am a functioning human being.
I can solve at least half a problem today, and that is better than yesterday.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you feel better?
I do feel better. I definitely feel better. And, you know, like, I think it's good, actually, that, I mean, I'd rather he just magically is like a perfect sleeper and sleeps through the night. But I think it's good to have this perspective because with Augie, I always talk about this, like with one kid, you think you're like the expert on kids and everything's amazing. Then you have another one and they're like, oh, guess what? I don't do the things the other kid does. Mm-hmm. Like with Augie, I was like, sleep training, you do it at 6 months and then it's great and everything's fine. And, you know, just make sure you stick to a schedule. That's all you have to do. And then, whoops, it turns out that it's not one size fits all.
Yeah. The second child is humbling.
Yes, it sure is. And I'm so grateful that you guys were game to help me solve this night weaning problem, which I think we can say, like, case closed.
Yeah.
I'm no longer night nursing. Right?
It's, yeah.
You know, except for an occasional fluke here and there, but even that
doesn't
work.
That's amazing.
So. Yeah. So, hooray.
We're so happy to help. We love helping you.
You stopped doing the same dance that you always do with Sebastian. You know, you've interrupted the dance.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job, Laura. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of little Sebastian for going with the flow and upskilling. I think that's a huge win. Well, thank you both again so much for being on the show. If our listeners want to find you, and listeners, you definitely need to go find them. These two are amazing. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you?
Yes. Thank you for having us on. Yeah, we love hanging out with you. And we are so happy that you are getting some sleep over there. And anything that you guys need, we're here for it. And you can find us at www.milkminutepodcast.com. On Instagram at milk_minute_podcast.
And we're the same on TikTok, Facebook, the Milk Minute Podcast. We're pretty easy to find.
So. Yeah, we're all over the place now.
And their TikTok is excellent. Like, I feel like Maureen, you probably do most of the TikToking.
It's my baby. Yeah.
Maureen does 99% of the TikTok. If you see me on there, just know that I spent 2 hours making that 30-second video.
And we know you did your best.
We did our best. Yeah.
I always love seeing your TikTok, Maureen, because it's like it's so good and so funny and you have like such great content. And then I also like feel smug because I feel somewhat responsible because ages ago I was like, you got to get on TikTok. And you're like,
you
I
did.
Don't know. And I was like, give it a try.
And we were like, we don't want to be on TikTok. It is all thanks to you.
Okay. Yeah. I get to take all the credit. Well, thanks again for everything. Thanks for having me on your show. And everyone who missed it, go back and listen because I did not do a great job summarizing all the excellent advice they gave me, especially a lot of Maureen's advice that I heard and decided wasn't for me, but it might be for you. So go back and listen to that episode. And that would be episode 145. So make sure you go check that out on wherever you listen to your podcasts and go listen to The Milk Minute. It's a great podcast. I love it. And I love you guys. Thank you guys for being here.
Love you guys too.
All right, Shauna, that was super fun, but I do think it's time to take a break and come back with our BFPs and BFNs. What do you think?
I think we should. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, so we close every episode with a big fat positive or a big fat negative of the week. Shauna, I want to hear.
Yeah.
You had a week. You had a real week. So I would understand if you have a BFN. So let's hear it.
I actually managed to have a BFP amidst all the N's. So yeah, I have a BFP.
You're always good at finding the silver linings, I must say.
I try. So I did have that one good day where I was testing negative and I had my mask off and I could do a lot of family time. So I wanted to do something fun with the family that day. And the girls each got a new scooter for Christmas. And we had been doing a lot of scootering out in front of the house and in the cul-de-sac and everything. But then I remembered that there is a really cool skate park up in Santa Clarita, which isn't too far from our house. And I was like, oh, that would be so fun for them to go and actually ride on ramps and, you know, up the, I don't know the terms for any of these things. Half pipe, is that a thing? Maybe that's for the more advanced skaters, but they have all of that stuff here. It's really an amazing part of their public park system. It's an incredible, just free skate park up there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, why don't we go like do some scootering at the skate park? And we went and it was really, really cute to see them scootering around with all these big kids. And it was almost all boys, I will say. Like Elle did not lose any time noticing that it was like all boys. She was like, oh my gosh, like we're the only girls here. And I could tell she was intimidated. And she's like, they're all bigger than us. And, you know, there's skateboarders, there's scooter people, there's people on roller skates. You can bring bikes in there, pretty much anything with wheels, wheelchairs. I mean, you could like bring anything with wheels in there, basically. And so she felt really intimidated. Cece, of course, like she is oblivious. She didn't really care. And she just started scootering around. But it was so cute to see Elle overcome that anxiety and that fear and just kind of start on like the little ramps and then kind of build up her confidence and go on the bigger ones. And by the end, she was like scootering around the whole entire place, even where like the big kids were. I'm talking like, you know, big late teenager type kids. Mm-hmm. And she was like going around with them. She would even say hi to some of these dudes. And it was really cute. And such a fun, like, family activity and fun thing for them to do. And I'm like, I wish I had a scooter. Like, this looks so fun. I'm just, like, sitting there with my big blanket hoodie, sitting on the concrete, freezing my ass off while they had fun. But here, I'll send you a little video of what they got up to.
Oh, yeah, I want to see.
All right, here are two videos. The first is Elle, and then the second one is Cece. They're going down kind of a big curved ramp
Okay, let's watch this first one. Oh man, she's got some speed. Whoa, she really picked up some speed. She's like maneuvering mm-hmm. around all these features so well. Were you nervous at all?
I was. As soon as we got there and saw other kids wearing knee and elbow pads, we were like, oh, we should have had knee and elbow pads for this. So we tried to tell them to take it easy, you know, so they wouldn't have big accidents. I was a little nervous.
Okay, now let's watch Cece go. Ah, there she goes. Ah, bend around that curve. Look at her. She's like, ooh, went a little fast there. Slow myself down. Oh, yeah, she's loving it.
But yeah, that was just a really fun day. And that was my BFP for the week.
Awesome.
All right, you're up. What do you have for us, BFP or BFN?
Well, just like you have a knack for finding the silver lining in hard times, I apparently find bad things in good times. I have a BFN.
All right. Well, what you got?
Okay. So my BFN is that I feel like after Christmas and Augie's birthday, which is 10 days after Christmas, it feels like he's a bit trapped in a hedonism treadmill of getting presents.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He and your girls have a similar situation, especially Cece. She's really, you know, close to Christmas too. It's just like he's been getting so many presents and so many toys, which is wonderful, right? Like it just goes to show, you know, they're not all from me and from Corey. You know, it's family from near and far sending stuff to him, and everyone wants to, you know, wants to celebrate him, right? And wants him to have a great holiday and great birthday.
Right.
But the way it plays out is that, like, you know, Christmas is overwhelming. I'm sure it's the same with your girls. Like, there's just a lot. And as much as I try to be, like, mindful about consumerism and blah, 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 like, he still wants to open a bunch of presents on Christmas. And so it's overwhelming. And what that means is that we actually usually end up not opening all the presents on Christmas. Like, the last 2 years since he's been old enough to really care, we've ended up holding a few back because we've watched him, like, get overwhelmed, right? Like, right. And just been like, you know, it's enough for now. Like, he doesn't know what presents are around. And, like, even he will start to, like, not want to, like, he knows there's more presents under the tree, but it's like, and he knows he wants to open them, but it doesn't happen. You know, and I can tell that's, like, a reason he needs to chill. Like, he knows he needs to chill out in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then that means that, like, the days after Christmas, he gets presents, and then presents would arrive late. And we'd be like, okay, well, you know, your Auntie Linda just sent you a present, like, 3 days after Christmas. And then, like, oh, you know, like, just things kept arriving. Things kept getting, like, delayed. Mm-hmm. And there was one day this week, and then the same thing with his birthday, right? Like, we got him presents on his birthday, and then there was, like, a present from my mom that arrived the next day. And then, like, there's his birthday party where he got a bunch of presents because I knew that if I said no presents, he would be super sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's very toy-oriented, right?
He like, is, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't want to do that to him. Previous years, he wouldn't have known the difference. This year, he's been to enough birthday parties that he knows that that's what happens at birthday parties. The birthday person gets the birthday kid gets their presents. And it just wasn't going to fly, right? So people brought him so many presents. They were so generous. It was wonderful. And we opened them sort of slowly. And so he woke up this morning and he was like, Mama, every morning do I just wake up and get another present?
Yeah, the present of sunshine, the present of life.
Oh, and I was like, I know. Well, it certainly seems that way for the last 2 weeks, honey. But, like, no, eventually the presents are going to stop. Like, and he was sort of thinking about it. And, you know, the reason this is my BFN is not because I'm worried about creating a evil consumerist brat or something, you know, like. The reason it's my BFN is that I'm noticing because of this, he is not getting the enjoyment out of his presence like he should because he's always anticipating the next one, you know, and he's not like he'll get a super awesome toy, get excited about it for a couple seconds, play with it for a couple minutes and be like, OK, what's next? You know, and like not and then completely forget about it. And like, I hate that. I hate that for him because he doesn't get to enjoy things the way they should be enjoyed. You know, it's robbing him of that experience. Instead, he's just like wants more, more, more. So I don't know. I feel like next year I need to come up with some way around this or talk to him more about it or just something, because I just don't want to repeat it next year.
Right. Well, there is something about that that's inherent to childhood and birthdays in general and Christmas in general. I mean, there's the excitement. You get a present and you're excited about it for a second, then you move on to the next thing. You know, I think that happens to every kid, regardless if their birthday and Christmas fall close together, right? Because that was even happening with Elle this year. And I think just like, time needs to go on and that toy needs to live in the playroom for a while and then they'll come back to it. And then that's when all the enjoyment will come out of the toy. I think you can probably definitely find a way to tone it down because his birthday and Christmas are so close. But I don't know that that will go away until he's just older.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, like, you know, he got a very cool book as a present from one of his friends for his birthday, from his birthday party. And he opened it and like threw it because it was a book, you know, like because he was expecting a toy. And like, that's the type of behavior I'm just like, you know, I don't want to tamp down his feelings. Like, it's okay to be disappointed, but it's also like, I don't want him to be a total brat, you know, who doesn't appreciate books, because he does, you know, like later he wanted to read the book and it was fine. But like, his reaction was throwing the book across the room and like having a little fit because it wasn't a plastic toy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah. The good news is that I think we've now opened all the presents.
Okay. So it's done. No more presents warning.
No, no. So he's just going to have to learn how to wake up without getting a present every day.
Oh, my gosh. I'm always like, oh, why can't these kids have summer birthdays? Because
I know.
Yeah, it's very similar with us. Cece's birthday is 15 days before Christmas. You know, it's completely overwhelming. Yeah. And it's overwhelming for me, too. Like, I want to stretch out the celebrating. I want to stretch out the gift giving. I want to stretch it all out. But that's just not how it is for our family.
It's almost like we could have chosen to get pregnant at a different time of year.
I tried to time that first embryo transfer so perfectly. I was like, oh, my gosh, this baby will be born in early October. This is going to be so perfect. It's going to be a Libra. It's just going to be amazing. And then, of course, that, you know, embryo didn't stick. Like, oh, I don't have control. Oh, darn.
Oh, man. And I was just naive and didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, that is it for me this week. I think that also means it's it for our show. What do you say?
I think so. Thank you again to Heather and Maureen for coming on our show. And if you want to find them, search for Milk Minute Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts or visit them online at milkminutepodcast.com. And if you want to find us online, Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And if you want to send us an email, just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Finally, if you want to join a super cool group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join and answer those two membership questions so we know you're not a robot. And once you do that, you'll be sent straight through to all the wonderful, amazing conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.